every station on here. And shout outs to you, the listener. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Good morning, Montreal. You are listening to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a full show for you today with two pre-recorded interviews and a podcast. The first interview is with Patricia Diaz, author of Pretty Girls Don't Get Cancer. The podcast is from Head Stuff, as In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. Today's question is, why do dogs sniff each other's bums? The second interview is with Billy from Ragers. Ragers will be playing the Oscang Plaza August 19th. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings Weather, and after some music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
Some pictures replacing the slides we no longer see with our eyes. Ah, but who needs the sky anyway? I do need light anyway. I do. I do need the world anyway. Shadow was love instead of light. We're born of an age bound to fall. Ah, but who needs to stay anyway? I do need to lay. I do needs the world anyway. I do needs love anyway. Oh, will life seem as it always will be? Easy to see the way you want the world to be. My mind to be free to move, free to see. See what I want, see what I want to see. See what I want to is to be here right now and in peace. Or will I tell myself there were times, times more satisfying, and I can see that the stages of change is a constant. Now is the only time to be. Now is the only time to be. Now is the only time to be. Bright lights and pictures. Bright lights and pictures. Bright lights. Caught in a cell with no way to leave. Nowhere to go, I know what you need. Ah, but who needs the sky anyway? I do needs the air anyway. I do needs the. do needs love anyway? Will I tell myself there were times, times more unsatisfying than I can see? At the stages of change is a constant. Now is the only time to be. Now is the only time to be. Now is the only time to be. Bright lights, pictures. Bright lights, pictures. Bright lights. Bright lights and pictures of blazing stars.
Everybody saw more than their sight. They're what you wait in me find in your eyes. So everybody, everybody fight.
They fight
just to feel right. Everybody through with the bird's call. Then everybody, everybody lead and be safe when they fall. Then everybody, everybody dance to their own special song. Everybody's lost and looking down to order things on brightest screens, from double-double burgers to diamond rings. But it's time to patch, the holes just sink, the ship's no match for the open sea. Everybody jump in and sing the count with me.
2, 3.
What if everybody, everybody saw more than their sight? Then everybody, everybody see the glow of the bright side.
step outside, share a smile and set the break. Come on. Cause rain or shine, fire or ice, there's life today.
Sam's excited to see his favorite band play live. He's thought about it all week. He bought his ticket. He wore his band t-shirt. He went to the concert venue. He wasn't allowed inside the concert venue. He put away his band t-shirt. He threw away his ticket. And he thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. Beginning in September, you'll need a vaccination passport to enter certain public spaces. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Pretty Girls Don't Get Cancer is a testimony of the power of a strong community, a grain of faith, and a personal resiliency during a cancer diagnosis and healing process. In this memoir, Patricia Diaz reconnects with the phase of her life when, as a teen, she came close to death. With us today, we have Patricia Diaz. Hi, Patricia, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila. Thank you for having me today.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be an author.
Sure. So my name is Patricia, and I've been an author a very short time. Basically, I have a story to tell, and that story I've been writing for multiple years throughout my journey and through some phases of transition of work And I actually wrote it when I was in a long transition of work through the help of mentors and guides. They helped me find my way through the writing a manuscript and actually getting it self-published. So it was a long journey. I really didn't have any experience on this process before I started it, but I did have a story to tell.
What is your educational history as an author?
So as an author, I would say very little other than my education and my master's and writing in English, but business English and mentors. I have very strong mentors that guided me through the process.
Who were some of those mentors and how did they influence your work?
Sure. So the mentors that I leaned on throughout this process were people I met through my career. And one of them is a communicator, and I actually give her the credits in the beginning of the book, and also the first person that gave me an opportunity to work here in the United States, I give her credits as well. They were very encouraging and pillars in giving me feedback and giving me alternatives to, you know, find help to get more feedback from other people, join a writer's group, read more memoirs and things like that, that I didn't know I had to do when I started the project. So they were instrumental in the development of the book.
How do you describe your experience as a teenage cancer victim and survivor?
The experience was very hard. It was a learning journey. And it was almost like riding a wave where I had very low moments and very high moments. I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, terminal cancer, when I was 16, 17 years old, and went through chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and all of that at a time when I should have been partying with my friends, worry-free and just enjoying life. Circumstances were different for me, so I had to adapt to my reality and make things work and learn as fast as I could the multiple amount of information that was coming my way during that time. Mm-hmm. It was a learning journey, and definitely as a young adult after cancer wasn't easy either. I had to learn my way through that, struggle my way through that part of life as well. But here I am, I made it through, and I'm telling the story after all these years in hopes that anyone that is going through it today or has gone through it finds some words there that might be helpful for them.
Pretty Girls Don't Get Cancer is your latest book. What is the story you're telling?
The story I'm telling is about obviously a cancer journey, but it's also a love story. It's a love story with actual, you know, a couple story, but also family love and a community that came together when I was at my lowest and helped me through navigate through my cancer the cancer experience. And it's a story of hope, of also leaning on alternative methods and keeping an open mind to the amount of information you get when you're in a circumstance like that. Everyone has a special advice to give you, and you know how you deal with the information that's coming your way and how you incorporate that information into your life makes a difference. So that's, I'm sharing my story in those pages in hopes that other people might find something.
Could you read us some passages from your book?
Sure can. Chapter 11. And the title of that chapter is, Do You Mean It's? During those days, I'd hear bits and pieces of test results and distilled information about my condition. The censoring committee, my family, was sheltering me from my own fears. Hence, they were still having most conversations about potential diagnosis outside of my room. Someone had shared with me that the results from the scan were not favorable and showed some malignancies. The intruder had invaded my body, liver, pelvis, left lung, and skull. The mutated cells had all conglomerated in the spots of their choosing and were spreading everywhere. My immune system had shut down and could not defend itself against its predator. Everyone looked devastated as more information was available, while I danced between numbed confusion, blissful denial, and simply breathing. I learned later that the group of doctors debated on what to do next. I was told that additional tests were needed to figure out exactly what the malignancies were. No strong C words were used yet. For some reason, the word malignant didn't even give it away. Breathing was so hard. When I inhaled, it seemed like no oxygen was coming into my body. It was like breathing with my lungs completely full. A tumor was blocking the entire space. I kept trying to inhale, desperate for some nurturing in my cell. Every once in a while, a slight relief would sneak in, but the next breath, I'd have to exert the same effort all over again. The doctors agreed to biopsy the most superficial tumor located on my scalp. I still have a hairless scar from this minor surgery. It was the same tumor that was missed by the medical staff at the Hospital Clinico a few months earlier. The tumor had significantly grown since Pretty Girls, doctor. A new physician came in the room. I couldn't keep up with all their names and faces. Even my family wasn't quite sure who was really in charge. Hi, Patricia, I'm Dr. Fred. How are you feeling? I nodded, acknowledging the question. Patricia, we will be taking you in for a ambulatory operation. I need a sample of the bump on your head. An operation? I whispered. Yes, you will be asleep and not feel anything. He paused. A nurse will be shaving off a small portion of your hair. My hair? No. Barely able to speak, I had to defend the hair. I'm sorry, Patricia, but I can't perform the operation if we don't take a small portion of your hair from that area. I need to get a sample to see what it is we're dealing with here. Reluctantly, I agreed. After the nurse prepared me for the operation and shaved about 2-inch square area of my hair from my scalp, I was wheeled on a bed into a small operation room. Hi, Patricia. I'm going to be your surgeon today. I blinked back. We're going to give you something to sleep. Will you please count backwards from 10 to 1? This will be quick. 10, 9. I saw my mother standing over my head and felt her holding my hand. Her other hand was tightly gripping a small silver statue of the Virgin Mary. She looked deep in prayer, perhaps asking the Virgin for protection and begging for a miracle. She faded away. When I woke up, my family was around my bed staring at me. I was so drowsy, though. I don't remember who was there. The conversations, mumbling, and noises in the room felt loud. Not making sense of what was being said, I must have fallen back to sleep. I don't remember what else happened that day. When I finally woke up, I was more alert. I was surprised to hear that it was a day later, and I had been sleeping for over 24 hours. A doctor came into my room. I knew I was finally going to find out what was happening because everyone else left the room. How are you feeling today? I asked the doctor. I blinked and nodded. I'm okay, I thought. He explained in a very gentle way that I had tumors in my body and that the technical word for that disease was liposarcoma. I had no idea what he was talking about. He continued saying that they were going to give me some chemotherapy to see how the tumors would react to it. He also mentioned that I had pleural fluid spread in my abdomen and that they would have to drain it. The lips on his face moved as he continued to talk. His words were a complete blur. I interrupted him and asked, chemotherapy? Do you mean I have cancer? Well, you see, cancer is a very misused word. We don't really like to use that term because there were so many variations and blah, 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 is what I heard next. His credibility dipped lower with every word that came out of his mouth. I tuned him out after not getting the direct binary response to my question. He may have noticed my glossed out eyes and tried to make a connection again. Emphasizing his words, slowing down, he said, and we've scheduled you for an operation first thing tomorrow morning. You'll be under general anesthesia and will drain pleural fluid. Once you're out of intensive care, we'll start chemo. You'll be recovering from the operation and receiving chemo at the same time. It will be a very rough day. Feeling I had no choice, and with intense sadness, I accepted, Jesus, please help me. 2 or 3 labs confirmed the diagnosis. Liposarcoma, a soft tissue cancer that starts in the fat cells. When the doctor left the room, I asked to speak with Zoe, or she came in, I'm not certain. All I know is that I needed my translator and a bit of the honesty without pity that I could only get from her. Zoe, is it cancer? I asked. She looked down for a fraction of a second, then looked into my eyes and said, yes. The silence stung my ears for what seemed to be an eternity. I saw myself running in the beach. That was all I wanted to do. Seagulls slowly gliding on their beautiful wings through the orange and red sky, showing me the way to set my soul free from that decaying body. The soft scent of salt water scraping my face. Tears that desperately wanted to come out, didn't. Silent waves slowly battered the white sand. Then an electric internal jolt brought me back to the room, a reality that was standing right in front of me. There was no running away from the four walls that held my present and my near future, or so I thought. Looking straight into my eyes, Zoe said, and you know, asking God to heal the cold and asking him to heal a disease is the same thing. The only limitations are in our mind. And all we need is faith that it will happen, and it will. Forgive, healing, 2 words that I had heard so many times in my life. I was starting to realize that I had no idea what their true meaning was. Was Nicholas right? Was it my arrogance that disregarded his well-intended advice? My soul felt dry and thirsty. For the first time in my life, I felt lost. But the seed of faith had been planted by Zoe. Humbled in every possible way, I was ready to learn.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Who needs to read this book, Pretty Girls Don't Get Cancer?
So I would say families and the rocks of cancer patients and cancer survivors would be the audience for this book. Young adults can also read it, but I would say teenagers probably with adult supervision. But generally speaking, this is a book that families can benefit from to help support their loved one.
What awards has this book won for you?
Yeah, so I recently won, or not I, but the book recently won the IPPI Awards. That's the independent publishing award. It's right here, this bronze, and it won bronze medal in the category of ebook memoirs or personal stories. So I'm excited about that, and it was a lot of effort, and I'm very proud that the book actually made its way into that award. So we're all very proud of that.
If our listeners want to buy your book, where should they go?
They can buy the book in Amazon. It's very easy to buy in Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, Target, Walmart. It's there. Also, you can just do a Google search and it's there. You can go to my website, mpatriciadiaz.com. And there's a link to also buy the book there, or to bookbaby.com in their store. They also have copies of my book there.
You've been listening to Patricia Diaz speaking about her book, Pretty Girls Don't Get Cancer. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning.
When the sun.
Cocky doodle doo. I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Not every morning when I wake up.
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up 7:30 every morning. Had the same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8 heures demain matin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Riding a bike made of bacon and eggs.
In the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Why should the sun replace the moonlight?
Has this ever happened to any of you? Or will it happen to any of you on the morning after the night before?
You are listening to The Morning After on CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
Have you ever seen a dog having a good deep sniff of its dog buddy's behind and thought, "What are you doing, Fido?" Today on In the Shower, we ask, why do dogs sniff each other's bums?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that aims to answer the mysteries of the world in the time it takes you to shower.
Have you ever wondered why helium actually makes your voice squeakier?
Or why we say cheese in photographs?
Or why fish get thirsty?
If you have wondered the answer to any of those questions, well, good news, you've come to the right place. We have answered all of those questions, and we're about to answer one more.
So step into the shower with us as we ask, why do dogs smell each other's bums?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Do you know what? Dogs are the most amazing thing on the entire planet. Like, I don't think there's anything better.
We don't deserve
dogs.
Them.
We don't deserve dogs. I've never had a pet dog in Ireland, but dogs are still my favourite things on the planet.
They're the best thing ever. Whenever Marcus and I are really, really hungover, we go onto the Dogs Trust website or the DSPCA and look at all the dogs that need adopting and quite literally plan our perfect lives with 100 dogs.
You know, like the stereotype of like the crazy cat lady? Well, I actively want to be the crazy dog man. Like, honestly, imagine just walking down the street, like the main street of your city. I don't care if you're in Vancouver or Bangladesh or
Connemara.
Dublin or Connemara. Imagine walking down the main street of your city flanked with like 100 dogs, 100 breeds, none of them on a leash, but you are the leader of the pack. That'd be cool.
Honestly, like, dogs are too pure for this earth. I have always grown up with dogs, and I have two little doggos now who are the most perfect.
No, can I tell them about your dogs?
Yes.
So Prin is like little Jack Russell, and she actually smiles. Like, she's like brown and black and just perfect. Just the friendliest dog of all time. Like, I've never met a nicer dog. She just looks you in the eye and like gives you little licks and rolls over, gets belly rubs.
Sounds a bit like you, Marcus.
Do you know what? Usually I'll be mad, but that's the best compliment you've ever given me. If I could be like a human version of a perfect dog, then
sign me up.
Yeah, but you know what? I will say, dogs do something strange.
Do?
Yeah. Like, you compare me to, I don't sniff other people's bottoms. I mean, like, in all honesty, I can't fathom why dogs do it. I mean, like, poo comes out of there. Like, they don't even use loo rolls, so there'd probably be little, like, dangleberries now.
Oh!
Like, imagine, like, a long-haired dog. Like, you know the dog in the Dulux ad?
Yeah.
But there's definitely like poo dreadlocks.
Do you know what? Imagine though if dogs actually use toilets and loo roll. Actually, Sam, my other dog, my lesser favourite dog, which I know I shouldn't say.
Sorry if you're listening,
Sam. Podcast. Sam, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But Sam is my dad's favourite dog. And every morning she goes out to the same spot in the garden for a wee, right into the same bush, just the right hand side of the door. And my dad reckons that she has a little setup in there, like a little dog loo roll, a little dog toilet, some newspapers, scented soap, a sink.
Can we actually talk just for a second how weird it is that like Labrador puppies are used to sell toilet paper.
Yeah, that is a bit weird.
Like,
isn't
that's a bit weird, isn't it? Like, who has looked at like a Labrador puppy and gone, man, I'd love to wipe me arse with that. Like, that's
actually, that's it. Like, I would love to be in that marketing meeting.
Yeah,
where
just
they're
be
like,
listen, we're going to give people a quilted piece of paper that they'll use to wipe up fecal remains from their bum. We need a mascot. It's like, well, okay, we have a couple of options. This is Henry the Giant Poo. If you look, he's wearing a toga made of toilet paper, implying that the toilet paper takes away the poo. And this is a puppy for no reason. And somebody high up in a toilet paper company went, yeah, we'll go with the puppy.
I know. And the whole toilet paper brand that we're talking about is Andrex.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, I probably would have picked the puppy because I like puppies.
Would you wipe your arse on a puppy?
Or do you think that maybe they got a consultant in from Eastern Europe who was like,
where are you going with this, Marcus?
No, like, honestly, maybe they got a consultant in from Eastern Europe who was like, the mascot needs to be poopy. He was actually saying poopy, but they heard puppy. And they went, oh, you are a genius.
You are a genius, yeah. Vladimir.
Yeah. Because of that, now we have puppies selling bog roll. Anyway, I digress. Like, dogs sniff bums. They're mad. Why do they smell each other's bums?
Okay, so, are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Although to us it seems odd to see dogs sniffing each other's rear ends, there is a good reason why dogs stick their noses into private places.
Mm-hmm.
It lets them kind of find out all kinds of things about each other.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, to help them get along and survive ultimately.
So what, like humans on a first date will be like, do you like Snow Patrol? Did you play minor hurling? Who did you vote for? But dogs, like, they skip the kind of the small talk and just get the schnoz right in the poopy hole.
Literally.
Jesus, you know what? That, I imagine there was an attachment for phones that let people do the same, that you could connect to your Tinder where you're like, you put your phone up to your bum and it just uploaded your whole profile.
Wow, Marcus.
Yeah, but like that. Yeah. But come here. Why the bum? Why the, like, what kind of cruel evolutionary joke? It was like, I'm going to put, you know,
all the sense, yeah,
all of the information about a creature into the Scheisenpaufen.
It's all to do, okay,
yeah,
with a dog's sense of smell.
Yeah.
So dogs have amazing sense of smell, and it's actually up to 10,000 to 100,000 times better than humans.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine my sense of smell being like even a little bit better than it is now, let alone 100,000 times.
That's even, it's hard to even.
It's crazy,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I have a regular sense of smell and I have to deal with your farts. They're bad enough, but like 100,000 times.
Ha, you're hilarious. But yes. A dog's schnoz is class. But here's the amazing part. They can actually block out foul smells.
What?
Yep. They have a special part of their noses called the Jacobson organ that lets them ignore the smell of poop when they sniff other dogs' rear ends. Instead, the organ detects something more important. On the side of a dog's anus,
right,
the place where poop comes out, just in, yeah, case you don't know what an anus is.
Do you know what? It's amazing. I've got 29 years in life. And it'd be sad if I just learned what an anus is now.
But yeah, at the side of a dog's anus are special glands that release chemicals telling the body how to grow and essentially work properly. This is what interests dogs the most about each other's buttholes.
What I kind of want to rewind to a little bit there is the ability to cancel out bad smells. Like, that's amazing. Like,
it is, isn't it?
So I see so many people on Instagram being like, blocking out bad vibes for 2019, dude. The dogs are like, they can actually block out bad smells.
They have to cancel out the bad to get to the good. By sniffing a dog's bottom, a fellow dog can get all sorts of information.
I loved it, just like the fellow dogness of this. Like, you can imagine Snoop Dogg being like, hello, my fellow dog. But like, what kind of information and how do they distill this from a poopy smell?
Simply put, when a dog smells another dog's butt, they are downloading a ton of information about that dog simply from the chemicals they are releasing. Facts like a dog's health, a dog's diet, cleanliness, and even emotional state. It's basically a super intrusive equivalent of perusing through someone's Facebook account.
Emotional state? Oh my God, that is... Oh, Rex, you smell anxious today. Is everything okay? But why the bumhole? Like, why not smell their head? Or if their sense of smell are so good, like, why not just smell their aura?
Well, as I kind of mentioned earlier, on the side of a dog's anus is a small anal sac, which contains all these magical chemicals used in dog butt-based meet and greet.
Right, okay.
So the apocrine gland emits that trademark dog smell that we weak-nosed humans can usually pick up. But its partner in crime, the sebaceous gland, can also add some flavor. So apocrine is the Simon... Sebaceous is the Garfunkel.
I'm just blown away by this. Like, first of all, anal sac is... That's a word combination. So what kind of chemicals are we talking here, right?
Well, the daddy chemical at play is trimethylamine, featuring a bunch of small short-chain acids. These are responsible for that sharp dog butt smell. However, the emotional state, health, diet, etc. of a dog alters these chemicals accordingly.
All right, so just to kind of, like, rewind... dogs smell each other's bums, but it's okay because they have the Jacobson gland, which can block out bad smells. So they're not smelling the poo, but they are sieving through the shit.
And when they are sieving through the shit, they get all of the information about a dog. Like, in my opinion, it saves... Imagine going on a first date and having that information, like, you know, like on, in a little binder, so you know going into it what you're getting.
But you know how, like, it can detect a dog's emotional state? Imagine that'd be with humans. It'd be like, what's your emotional state? It's like, please get away from my ass. That's crazy. Dogs, we don't deserve dogs.
In the show with Tez and Marcus, 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 in the show with Tez and Marcus.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is why your little fluffy Freddy is sniffing his sister Sadie's arsehole.
Well, that's the weirdest sentence we have ever said on in the show.
Good alliteration, though. Come on.
Good alliteration. I'll give you that. Oh, my God. I'm still just bowled over by this. There you go, though. Another question answered. Another history of the world solved. On In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. Thank you so much for tuning in your lovely ears to us. You're very, very lovely. If you have a question that you'd like to send over to us, or you want to get in touch, or you want to send us a picture of your dog, just to clarify, of your actual dog, not of its bum, right? Please just do not send us any dog anuses or anal sacs or anything like that. It's very easy to get in touch with us. You can get us on email at
InTheShowerPodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can get us on social media, at Facebook. Just look up In The Shower with Taz and Marcus. Or you can get us on Instagram or Twitter at InTheShowerPod.
We absolutely love hearing from you guys. You listeners are invisible to us. So please do get in touch and just say hello, send us a picture of your dog, or send us a question that you would like us to research and debunk.
If you like what we're doing, please tell those close to you about it. Tell your granny, tell your mum, tell your coworker, tell your son. That's how a podcast... Yeah, I've been practicing in rap school. that's how word about podcasts spreads. If you want to put it on your social media, make sure you tag us. And hopefully you'll be back to listen next week.
I hope on that note that you have an absolutely fantastic week and that your wait for next week's episode isn't too tedious. What is next week's episode, Marcus?
Next week's episode is a big one. We've gotten this a couple of times. And it's a good question.
What is it?
Is water wet?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime...
Keep scrubbing.
In the show with Tez and Marcus, 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 in the show with Tez and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is ongoing throughout Quebec. The combined effect of two doses ensures better efficacy of the vaccine, reducing the risk of getting and transmitting the virus. You'll also stay protected for a longer period of time. Coming to your appointment for the second dose of the vaccine is a must, whatever else is on your schedule. The second dose of vaccine is essential. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Live Urban Electronic Group Ragers is the kind of treat you get in the park or on the streets on a hot summer night when everyone and everything is turning into a cartoon. The In Solitudes at Oskang Plaza, August 18th to 20th, welcomes Ragers as one of the main acts the 19th. With us today, we have Billy from Ragers. Hi, Billy, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you joined Ragers.
So I'm Billy, part of Ragers. Ragers has been around since around 2014. So we're going on 7 years now. It's weird to say it out loud. I joined Ragers. Well, so Jake, who is the other frontman, and Jay, our drummer, are brothers. And so they've been making music together since they were very, very small children. And not too long after, Phil, who plays guitar in Ragers, joined them. And they started a band that had a pretty long career, probably around like 10 years. Right after that project ended, they were sort of, I want to say, frustrated with the music industry and the state it was in at that time, you know, right as CD sales were declining, but streaming wasn't quite where it was. And so Ragers became sort of outlet to try new things that none of us had ever done before, coming from, you know, various different musical backgrounds.
The In Solitudes concert series by Indie Montreal is coming up soon on the 18th to the 20th of August. What's going on and who's going to be there to play with you on the 19th?
Yeah, that's a really fun one. So we'll finally be on stage with people who we've been talking to for a while. And, you know, the internet is a weird place. And sometimes you feel like you know people just from being on there with them. But we actually get to play with them this time. So it's with Sarah May, who is very, very good. She performed at Mural on Friday and apparently gave a great performance. And our friends in Urban Science Brass Band, Emil, who plays bass with them, and I went to school together. So I'm very happy to finally be making music on stage with him again. Yeah, we're going to be proposing a sort of new live experience. You know, we'll all be collaborating together on different songs to try and see, you know, try to find where all our styles meet on this Venn diagram of musical genres.
Who is in Ragers and what does everyone play?
So there is Jake, who is the main producer and also the main vocalist. I am Billy. I do song lyric writing and I rap as well and provide backup vocals. We have Phil, who is an extremely talented guitar player and who can just shred for days. And then you have Jay, who is, in my opinion, the very best drummer in North America. And together, I mean, especially like those three guys, they have such a good symbiosis just from playing together for so many years. And I think that, you know, I'm always able to jump in there and add a bit of flavor. And that's what makes Ragers a totally different experience.
Primarily, you're songwriters and composers. What is the process you go through when you produce a song?
Usually how it happens will be that Jake will, he's like in the studio all day. He is extremely talented and motivated. So he can like, you know, just sort of make little beats all day and make demos. And then he comes to us with maybe like 100, you know, ideas. Everyone takes the one they like and they start adding their parts to it. And then he'll take that, consolidate it, and then we just keep polishing it from there. Or other times, since we're all musicians to begin with, we can just sort of jam and see what happens from there. That also takes us in different directions. And then sometimes we also try other different stuff where, for example, we'll film the video before having written a song for it and sort of let the video guide what the song should be.
May we listen to some of your music?
Yes, absolutely.
This is Zach on the Wednesday Morning After.
Matt Coco! More for you, Matt Coco! You demand Matt Coco! since 93, best so 45, that 3 years ago, glad I'm still alive, death of the party, life of the funeral, bad at math, but good with the numerals, king of the schoolyard, link the cutest booze, every picture day, held the fiercest post, class asshole always ran on the post, 10 years later, still hang with all my bros.
Put your eyes back in high school, and
getting money since high school, get girls since high school, jump shots since high school, rock stars since high school.
Whoa, the curtains go, it's a shit show. I'm scared no more, I'm psycho. Came out as freshman, left a veteran. Y'all muppets suck harder than the Dyson.
Thought you knew I wasn't playing from the get go. Funny how you claiming over, you were never known. I saw my torso came through dripping. Look at you, dummy, trying to teach me shit.
Put your eyes back in high school, am I?
Get money since high school, get girls since high school, jump shots since high school, rock stars since high school.
From here? I mean, in a post-COVID world that we're all sort of learning to navigate, no one really knows. But so we put out our first project in French at the beginning of the year. It's called Tokayev, and it came out on Joyride Records. You know, that's definitely taking us in a new direction, and we're very excited to see where that goes. And then right before the pandemic, we had started having a good bit of traction in South Korea. And, you know, we were on tour over there right before the pandemic hit, and we were supposed to go back. And so hopefully we can go back there as soon as possible. But I think everyone in the band is very happy that, you know, we have enough material in French, we have enough material in English that we can really sort of go wherever we would like in the world with it. So I guess where we're going is all over the world. And Rageous has always been a project that was made, you know, to be a live experience and to be on the road and to, you know, be in front of new audiences all the time, because people are usually very surprised and don't really know what to make of it at first. But
may we hear some more of your music?
Absolutely.
This is Fools on CKUT.
Worth thousands, just got back from London. I'm a bitch ass princess making my own rules, and you're a fool, you're a fool. I like using boys as tools, and that's cool. Looking really hoary in my Instagram story, skirt so short I can barely lean forward. I'm a fool, I'm a fool, I'm a fool, I'm a fool.
I'm still killing shit. I work my guts out so don't insinuate. I judging by your face, you don't graduate. I 2-3 models wanna fornicate. I be all in the press, still y'all be sleeping on me. They gon' pray till my death, yeah, I'm a ghost on them. You know what I'm talking about. Telly suit always falling out. You know where the chocolate's hopping out. Bunch of clowns, I'm about to air them out.
Clothes worth thousands. Just got back from London. I'm a bitch ass princess making my own rules. And you're a fool. You're a fool. I like using boys as tools, and that's cool. Looking really hoary in my Instagram story. Skirt so short, I can barely lean forward. I'm a fool. I'm a fool, I'm a fool, I'm a fool.
Look at my
my shine, it's natural shine. Look at my wine, it's natural wine. Look at my dime, goddamn, she's fine. Blonde hair, clear skin, thank God she's mine. Fooling around, putting food on the table, came straight from the ground. Find the table, but a man. Look at Lil Bill, he's grown, goddamn. So girls on the cell phone, blowing it up. See the bottle on the dress, see the grapes in the cup. Picking back, I'm being bull like stuff. Got bottles, eyes popping when I step in the club. Sure, shoving out of wine, beer with the bread. And a glass pour cloud like a cigarette, whoa. Gambling with a lady, he's finished like a limousine. Sipping wine while she giving nigga head, whoa.
Just got back from London, I'm a bitch ass princess making my own rules. And you're a fool, you're a fool. I like using boys as tools and that's cool. Looking really hoary in my Instagram story. Skirt so short, I can barely lean forward. I'm a fool, I'm a fool, I'm a fool, I'm a fool.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, merch, or tickets, where should they go?
They can go on, I believe it's ragers.com. Otherwise, Ragers on Instagram. All our links are there for all the great shows that we have coming up for the rest of the summer. We're throwing our own festival in the woods with a bunch of our friends in 2 weeks. That should be a lot of fun as well. And then we have a few other shows all over Quebec for the rest of the summer. So definitely come check us out if we're in your city.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to Billy speaking about Ragers music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Thank you. You're listening to Radio CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal or online at ckut.ca.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Biden's defending his decision to withdraw U.S. troops from Afghanistan. He spoke from the White House Monday, one day after the Taliban captured the Afghan capital, Kabul.
The truth is, this did unfold more quickly than we had anticipated. So what's happened? Afghanistan political leaders gave up and fled the country. The Afghan military collapsed, sometime without trying to fight. If anything, the developments of the past week reinforced that ending U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan now was the right decision.
Human rights advocates are urging the United States and other nations around the world to open their doors to the thousands of refugees who are desperately trying to flee Afghanistan. Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai, who survived an assassination attempt by the Pakistani Taliban, spoke out Monday.
I think every country has a role and responsibility right now. Countries need to open their borders to Afghan refugees, to the displaced people. Biden has a lot to do. President Biden has to take a bold step for the protection of the people of Afghanistan.
Progressive U.S. lawmakers have also joined the call. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib tweeted, "If we don't start putting everyday people first, no matter what country they're born in, this will keep happening. Let's start by opening our country to shelter refugees fleeing the consequences of our actions," Tlaib said.